So we live in a time now where the whole gender thing is up for grabs. There's genderqueer people who don't identify regardless of what their equipment is, and there's people who are fluid, and there are people who are changing their genders through very expensive operations if necessary. And so what would you say to a person who says, well, men and women separate, but you know, what about someone who is unsure of their gender, or is fluid or genderqueer?
I would say anybody can do the Laudion who wants to. If you think you're a man, go into the men's Laudion. If you think you're a woman, go into the women's Laudion. Forget about it. Don't make a fuss. Just go in and do the Laudion. And then talk to whoever you become friendly with.
Before we started the interview, you were talking about what you would do with Subud New York's property, that it's a valuable property, and that you think it's worth a lot of money. You think selling it and investing that money would be a wise thing.
At this point, since, as I mentioned, we have 14 men at Laudion in this terrific old building with room for over 100 in each
hall,
in each of the two floors where men and women separately do Laudion, we don't need that huge space. We could get, I don't know, it's like $15 million for it. And we own it outright. And that could support Subud Enterprises all over the place, or Subud Houses. So my suggestion would be sell it, and if possible, I think there's been an offer or two for it. If not, the better solution to me would be do outreach. Let people know we exist. Advertise that you can come and get questions and answers once a month on a Sunday afternoon at Subud House, and get a feeling from the helpers or the members what it is, and if this is you want to try it. And let's try to expand Subud by letting people know we exist, especially young people. We have no young people in Subud.
Do you think the three-month waiting period is a relic of its time, or is it still helpful?
It's a total relic of its time. I'll open anybody who I receive, it's time for them to open. And I've opened some people in my living room who have stayed, and a couple of them, the solid members of the L.A. group, were open in my living room in New York.
How about closing people? What's your method for closing people?
They cock. They close themselves.
I see. Isn't that the truth?
No, but I think the helpers, after talking to people for a couple of times, maybe twice, maybe three times,
should have a bee
answering their questions. If they feel they're ready to be open, we should receive on it.
And what would be a reason why someone would not be ready to be opened? That they're mentally ill or on drugs? Isn't that illegal to do that, to discriminate?
One of my friends, a comedian, the helpers got no for 2 years on him. It's his state and what was going on inside of him and whatever's going on in his life, they wouldn't open him for 2 years. And finally, he was open. And he did Laudion a bit here and there. And he would come in and sing Mighty Mountain. And sometimes later on, he was able to receive a little bit. But he really wasn't ready. The guys who I've opened, we were doing Laudions at my theater in New York. There were a couple of helpers there. And we would receive, after talking to the guy a couple of times, Is it okay to open them at this time? We got yes, and they were opened, and of ongoing members of the New York group.
What are the ramifications for opening someone up when they're not ready?
If they're not ready, they don't want to ask to be opened.
But I mean, if somebody's opened and they're not ready, what kind of things can happen?
We don't open them unless we receive that they're ready.
Well, let's say they can make a mistake.
Then they don't care. Then they don't come anymore. They weed themselves out. If we were right that it was time to open them, they'll begin to receive, and that will suggest to them that they stay. Mm-hmm. If they don't receive, that will suggest to them it's not for them.
You see the New York group, in your own words, it's, you know, getting smaller because of deaths.
Yes. We lost 15% of the men's Ladihan group in New York in the last 10 years.
Are you pessimistic or optimistic about the future of Subud?
Unless Subud does outreach, it'll be gone in New York in 10 years. And unless they expand more over the world, it'll be gone in the world in 20. Doesn't mean there might not be little pockets of people doing Ladihan. I also received that we are not the only people in the world who are able to contact the Holy Spirit and get what a great life was. But there are other groups, I don't know what they are or where they are, but there are other people on the planet who are able to connect with a high spiritual force. Whether it's exactly the same one or not, it doesn't really matter, as long as you can receive information and guidance from it.
How did you find out about Subud?
One of my friends, Weston Gavin, who lives in London, he said to me, "Hey, I heard about this thing, Subud. Let's try it." I said, "You try it."
Get back to me on that one.
See what happens from it. So he did. Now, I had known him for a long time, and we had worked together. He played guitar and narrated for me. And he was like my younger brother. I was at his 18th birthday party, and this is years after that. And so he tried it. Now, even though I had known him all those years, he always sort of had his eyes half veiled. And after the few Ladihans, I saw he had a different view looking into his eyes. He had expanded. He had opened up a little bit. So I said, "I want to try that." He said, "Okay, go down to the Subud house." I went down one time. I talked to some of the helpers, and they said, "You got to wait 3 months." I never went back till the 3 months was up. I didn't want to hear what they had to say. I wanted the experience. So 3 months later, I went back, and they said, "Oh, you've waited 3 months. Okay, we'll open you." And I had my first Ladihan, and I didn't make a sound or anything. But I moved around a lot, and there were, I don't know, a dozen men in this large room, and I'm moving around, and suddenly I realize I'm moving around freely in a room with other people, and I'm not bumping into anybody. And I walk a little more, and I stopped, and I open my eyes. Oh, no, I stopped, and I put my hands out, and there's a brick wall there. Something stopped me when I got to the brick wall without bumping into it. And without bumping into people, with stopping in the dark, when I came to, I said, this showed me something is going on. At least something in me is helping take care of me on the outside. I didn't make a sound in the Ladihan for about, I don't know, 8 or 10 months. But I went twice a week and moved.
Not unusual for a mime not to make a sound.
Right. I did a lot of movement. And one day, I find myself lying on the floor. And I hear come out of my mouth, "Oh." I open my eyes. Hey, I quick close my eyes and lay back down. And I got, "Oh," another sound. And from there, sounds began to come out. And I began to sing. So even when I was standing and moving around, I began to make sounds, and I have ever since.
What has Subud meant to you in your life?
The Ladihan gives me information and guidance, not just guidance. It's kept me healthy.